Some rent-owned stores.
You're listening to The Press Box with Drake Anderson.
You have one of the worst voices I've ever heard.
ESPN Radio AM 1430 on the Sports Addict Radio Network.
And welcome back on Blacksburg's ESPN Radio AM 1430. Joining me in the studio, Will Stewart of TechSideline.com. And, of course, if you have any questions you want to ask us or ask Will about Tech basketball and this game coming up on Friday against Illini, phone number is 961-1430-961-1430 outside the immediate dialing area. That's 866-961-1430. That, of course, is a free call. And, of course, Will and I talking off the air about the state of this Virginia Tech basketball program. It's great to see them at this level. It's been a long time since they've been there, and a lot of it has to do with what Seth Greenberg has done, recruiting, getting the players in. We talked about facilities, and it'll be interesting if he gets the facilities in a couple years, Will, how the recruiting goes and if this team will, you know, go up from where it is.
You know, you got to figure it's just going to get easier. It's really hard to guess because he's done such a good job recruiting, again, with no facilities that I think Virginia Tech, because of lack of tradition and lack of identity as a destination for basketball players, is going to be limited, so to speak, in how well they can do in recruiting, at least until they build a history of going to NCAAs 18 out of 20 years, making a few Final Fours and things like that. You got to do that kind
right.
of stuff before players start to think of you up there with the Dukes and the UNCs and such. So if that future is even out there, it's a long way away.
Right.
You know, but facilities are going to help. At least you won't have anything to be embarrassed about. You know?
Right.
How hard do you figure he has? See, one of the things that's different about him, or so I hear from other ACC coaches, is that he handles a lot of the recruiting himself,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he knows that's what he needs to do to get the edge. He talks to the kids. He text messages the kids. He's the guy that takes the point on the recruiting of the players that he wants. And a guy like Gary Williams doesn't do that. The assistants mm-hmm. do most of the recruiting, and he kind of shows up to close the deal. So that's how Seth has been able to – one of the ways he's been able to do a good job recruiting, even though he doesn't have a lot, you know, to work with.
It's interesting. You mentioned text messaging. That's one thing that the NCAA hasn't really regulated at this point. You can almost – you can text message a recruit constantly, really, if you want to.
And that kind of annoys some of the recruits. Mm-hmm. Some of them aren't real thrilled with that.
Some of them then – I guess some of the coaches take full advantage of that
yeah.
as much as possible. By the way, the all the NCAA tournament games will be played right here through Westwood One on ESPN Radio AM 1430. And by the way, the Virginia Tech-Illinois game will be one of the spotlight games from Westwood One. They will stay at the Virginia Tech-Illinois game pretty much through its entirety. You'll get the beginning, you'll get the end of the first half, end of the second, or beginning of the second half, end of the game. They will move away from that game a little bit to give you the ending of some other ones, but Virginia Tech Illinois is one of the spotlight games. And, you know, Will, looking at this Illinois team real quick, is the one thing that jumps out to me is they like to play ball control offense. They like to slow it down. And you're grinning at me as I say that. I know every single Virginia Tech fan listening just started shaking their head. That's the type of team that really gives this Hokie club fits.
Yeah, it sounds like NC State is what everybody's worried
right.
about. And they've got a couple of big guys inside. They've got a 6'9 forward named Warren Carter. They got a 6'10 center type named Sean Pruitt. And those are their two leading scorers. And those are guys that in half-court offense, they like to get them the ball and let them operate. And golly, that sounds familiar.
Yes, it does.
And one of the guys, Warren Carter, shoots 41% from three-point range. He's taken 73 on the year and made 30 of them. And that sounds like Brandon Costner.
Yeah.
So you got Ben McCauley and Brandon Costner out there running around. The difference is you don't have a team full of guys that can bomb away from three-point range and aren't, you know, five of the best passers in the NCAA like what you've got with NC State. So.
Yeah.
You hope that's the difference. Now, having said that, you know, anybody could get hot at any time.
Right.
If they start knocking down threes, that's going to be a real problem for Tech. If Tech cannot get out and push the ball up and down the floor and get Illinois out of that half-court mindset.
And that's one thing the Virginia Tech fans were worried about the NCAA draw was, would they get a team similar to NC State? And you mentioned it does sound like Costner and McCauley. They maybe not have an Ingenatzer out there that will bomb away. They don't have the great guard play, but you know, Xavien Dowdell and Jamon Gordon, I don't care who it is, they're gonna limit what guards can do on any team. You just worry about the inside. And one of the guys that has to get hot, I think, for Virginia Tech is Deron Washington. And they've got a guy with a familiar name on the other side, Illinois, with Brian Randall, that may be able to neutralize him a little bit because he is he's athletic, but he's a little bit bigger than Deron.
Yeah, he's 6'8", 220, and Deron goes 6'7", 205. And Randall's
that may be generous, too.
And there aren't many teams in the NCAA that have a guy that can match up with Deron on the wing and control his athleticism. Deron isn't a great shooter. He's a decent shooter. Lately, not so much. But if you leave him open and he spots up, he's a pretty good shooter. But, you know, his strength is taking it to the rack in the half-court offense and on the break.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian Randall's a guy that can, if he's 100% healthy, can slow that down. And as you know, with Tech, it so much of it is dependent upon how Deron Washington and how A.D. Visayo play. You know, how many points are they scoring? Are they getting into the flow? And the most extreme example of that was when they combined for 44 points against Virginia. They got into it, and Virginia never had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if Randall can limit Deron, that's going to limit Tech to basically a two-guy offense. You know, and that's and depending upon what A.D. Visayo does. So that's a big issue.
Yeah, Deron, I mean, you mentioned, you know, he likes to get out on the break. Something else he likes to do is crash the boards,
yeah.
You know, try to get a tip in or a dunk off a miss. And Brian Randall, a guy that very possibly will be able to box him out a little bit better than maybe some of the other opponents and may limit what he can do there. And as you said, it will kind of limit the Hokies to two scores if AD doesn't get into it either.
Yeah, and I think from what I've read, I believe that Illinois goes pretty much exclusively man-to-man.
Right.
So Randall will have a body on Deron as much as you can get a body on Deron. You know, it's not like a zone situation where Deron will be able to run down the lane untouched on rebounds.
Well, let's get to the, I guess, the 800-pound gorilla in the room, and that would be Coleman Collins in his play. And, of course, I talked about the fact that he spent the first half of the NC State game with his shorts on backwards, which kind of makes you wonder where his head was in that game. Coleman said in today's Roanoke Times that he's ready to play and his shots are going to eventually fall. Well, they need to fall right away is what they need to do.
Yeah, the clock's ticking and the next loss is the last one. And we all like Coleman Collins. We love him to death. He's a smart mm-hmm. guy. He got his college degree by the age of 20. He's a role model. There's not anything to dislike about him. But his game is decayed.
Right.
And his jump shot has gotten where it's left him, and his handle has left him. He has trouble hanging on to the ball once he gets a hold of it. He's just, you know, and people ask me all the time, you know, what's up with Coleman Collins because of the drop in his statistics and his inability to hang on to the ball and that sort of stuff. I don't know. You know,
I don't think anybody knows, honestly, Will.
You know,
nobody knows.
Nobody. Now, there was an interesting comment by Marcus Sales in today's paper where he talked about Coleman's ankle, knee and thigh.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that's apparent if you watch him is that he doesn't have the hops he used to have. He's still got decent speed and can get up and down the court, but he can't jump like he could just the last couple of years. So I think there's something going on there that's unsaid with regards to the health of his legs.
Well, I mean, you've been following Tech basketball, as we've talked about, for some time. Have you ever seen a player that, I guess, reached the level that Coleman did in his sophomore season, and I'll throw out his junior season because of what happened off, and just the difference between that sophomore and senior seasons?
I don't think I've seen anything like that, you know, without an obvious reason to explain mm-hmm. it. You know, Ace Custis,
an injury or something of that matter.
Something obvious. You know, yeah. Ace Custis' performance fell off a little bit from his junior to his senior year, but they lost everybody decent on the team, and it was all hanging on his neck.
And this is a team that's kept everybody.
Yeah. You know, I remember watching Coleman make a play when he was a freshman against Rutgers. He took the ball on the baseline, almost at the three-point line, and he just shot down the baseline underneath the bucket for a reverse jam that
mm-hmm. –
Wow, it just left everybody speechless. I talked to guys who are on press row, have covered basketball for 20 years, who they said they just turned at each other with their eyebrows raised and said, man, where'd that come from? And he had a tremendous amount of spring and athleticism and a tremendous amount of promise, and it just kind of hit the wall somewhere along the way.
Yeah, I mean, we know that, you know, what he's gone through, and as you mentioned, I mean, everybody is rooting for the guy. I mean, he's a great person to talk to, great kid, smart. I mean, graduated in 3 years at the age of 20. He's going to go on and be probably one of the most successful players Seth Greenberg has had. I mean, not players, but people.
People, yeah.
Yeah, once he gets through his basketball playing career. But it just, you see him on the court, and, well, I was telling you during the break, I noticed 3 minutes into that game on Saturday against NC State, I knew he wasn't going to be a factor, and I knew Virginia Tech was not going to win that game.
Yeah, you can tell that stuff early, and I could tell it when NC State came to Blacksburg, when everybody thought NC State wasn't any good and Tech
right.
would run them off the court. I was uncomfortable 3 minutes into that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell Tech did not have it that day, and you can see this stuff, and sometimes you can turn it around in the middle of a game, but most of the time what you see the first few minutes is a harbinger of things to come.
For the most point, if you can keep a team can stay in it, the longer they stay in it, the more confidence they get. And of course, Virginia Tech, we send them press when they get down, when they get worried, I guess. The Clemson game was one of them.
Yeah.
You could tell the later it got, the more worried they were, the more they pressed. And the more Clemson got confidence.
See, and that's what was so unique about the win at North Carolina was there came a point where Xavier Dowdell just kind of picked the team up and put them on his shoulders. And we've seen Jamon Gordon do that in the past, too. He had some insane game at Wake Forest last year. We had something like 16 points
right.
and 9 rebounds in the second half. You know, and it just a tremendous effort. But for the most part, the mantle of leadership, particularly on Xavier's shoulders, it doesn't seem to sit well. You know, he started out 1 of 10 the other day.
Right.
And that's a shame. You like to see the guy have his best games like he did at UNC. But sometimes they find themselves looking for a guy to step up. You know?
Well, hopefully they'll be able to. He'll have one of those good games against the Illini on Friday. Will Stewart of TechSideline.com joining us in studio. And we've talked about, you know, the starters here. I wonder how much of an effect some of these, maybe the younger guys, the ones off the bench, are going to be for the Hokies. You know, to me, Shek Jakite comes in. He gives a nice little, he gives nice effort. He seems to boost the pace of the game a little bit. A little aggressive, obviously. He gets into some foul trouble. Lewis Witcher may be the same. We haven't seen as much of Nigel Munson lately as we did kind of middle of the season. We just wonder if, you know, the freshman, the grind that may be getting to him, or just, you know, Coach Greenberg maybe lost a little confidence in him.
Yeah, that's another one of those things you'd have to ask Seth, because Lewis Witcher just disappeared.
He was starting.
He started something like 20 games,
mm-hmm.
but toward the end of that, he was getting taken out 4 or 5 minutes into the game and wasn't coming back in. And anytime Seth gets asked about it, he just says he's going to be a great player, and he doesn't elaborate anymore
right.
on him. I thought the effort that Witcher put forth at UNC was outstanding. He had 6 rebounds and 4 points in 6 minutes. And I thought what he did in limited action against NC State was impressive. I think Seth's problem with Witcher is probably his defense at this point. You know,
right.
And that can be a problem with freshmen.
Right.
Nigel, I can't really speak to, you know, but it's good when a guy like Lewis can come off the bench and get some rebounds and points, or Nigel came out and hit a 3-pointer right away against NC State.
Right.
And that was one of the few signs of hope in that game
that
they could kind of catch up to him and get over the hump.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at Jakite, I mean, he comes in, he can get you some rebounds. One thing I have noticed with him, though, he hasn't gotten the strength in his hands or the confidence in his rebounds. A lot of times he'll go up soft for a rebound and lose it on the way down. Gets it knocked away. Timing on blocks is just a little bit off. There's a couple times you see him get up in the air and you're like, this one's going to go the opposite direction. He just misses it.
To me, the key thing about him is he's way better than he was last year.
Oh, yes.
He fouls a lot less.
Mm-hmm.
They sent him into a game last year. He'd pick up 2 in a couple of minutes. His defense, his man-to-man defense has gotten a lot better. He doesn't foul as much. He sells out for the block a little bit too much when it's not even his man.
Right.
You know, he'll come over and try to make
that
block.
That may be where I'm seeing timing.
I think you're seeing timing on blocks he shouldn't even be
right.
attempting to make.
That may be it.
That leaves him exposed from the back a little bit mm-hmm. to an offensive rebound. I think his hands have improved, you know. I think they can get better. He's got a nifty little turnaround jump shot he's developed. You know,
that has been good.
He's not consistent with it, but, you know, take a look at the stat sheet here. Shek is... he's shooting 58% from the field. And that's not all dunks. You know, some of that is he's got a little turnaround jumper he can toss in from
top. It's kind of a weird release. Not on the turnaround. The turnaround's got a nice release. Sometimes when he's faced up to the basket, it's kind of a herky-jerky motion. Almost goes behind his head.
I've always thought that Shaq just needs to relax just a little bit, you know, and he'd probably agree with that. Mm-hmm. I think he's gotten better since last year. If he improves as much from this year to next year, then you're going to be looking at a pretty good ball player next year.
No, he's going to have to pick up the him and Lewis Witcher both will have to probably step up just a little bit next year.
Yeah, it's going to be them and Jeff Allen, a freshman who's coming mm-hmm. in, and Gus Gilchrist, another freshman. Am I leaving anybody out in the post? It's basically going to come down to those four guys to handle the center and power forward positions.
Right. We're talking about how great it is that the Hokies are in the NCAA tournament this year, but facing the facts is they're going to be a very young basketball team next year. I mean, basically, your seniors next year are Deron Washington and Marcus Travis.
Yeah.
So, and Travis is the human victory cigar. So, back in a moment. We'll talk more about the game against the Illini with Will Stewart of TechSideline.com. Maybe get to a couple of the other ACC teams when we return. You're listening to the Press Box on Blacksburg's ESPN Radio, AM 1430.